It's time for What's Up with Green Party co-leader Marama Davidson.
Morena, how are you, Minister?
Morena, I'm really good, thank you.
Hey, it's great to have you on the show. Thanks for speaking to us this morning. We've got some big topics to talk about. Let's start with the motion that the Green Party put forward last week in Parliament to declare Palestine a state. Now, it was only the Greens and the Māori Party that really supported this. What do you think that the government in New Zealand should be doing at the moment to support the people of Palestine?
Addressing the genesis of the violence, actually, and that's why our motion to affirm Palestine's statehood, affirm their independence, was, you know, really important. What was sad is those other political parties, as their party policy, do actually support a Palestinian state. So it's just really unfortunate, sad, that the other political parties didn't support our motion.
As a member of the Five Eyes Agreement, do you think that New Zealand should be encouraging America in particular to be taking more action on Israel at the moment?
Or how about less, which is about the fact that they support and supply resourcing and aid to the state of Israel's military and war effort. And, you know, so New Zealand, I think the whole thing here is New Zealand having an independent foreign, international foreign policy is something that the Greens have always stood strong on, so that we are able to make these important motions, statements, signals about human rights around the whole world, you know? And at the moment, can I just firstly say that every loss of life and every loss of life to military and state violence is absolutely unacceptable, and we stand by that. There is a genesis right at the centre of this violence, disproportional from the Israel state to Palestine, and that is affirming Palestine's statehood and nationhood, ending the illegal occupation that is happening, sending a very clear message that this killing cannot continue.
What's an action that you would like to see from the government, I guess, in an immediate context to affirm that?
Well, supporting the motion that we put up would have been a massive start, I have to say. That would have sent a really clear message as governments and leaders from around the world need to be having a real think about what is at the cause of this violence, of these completely, I want to say, abhorrent and unnecessary civilian deaths, including the children. That is, you know, I'm really afraid that we are going to start to normalise the loss of lives, including children's lives, innocent civilians' lives, as ordinary and normal. And I'm really worried that we're going to start, I mean, we already have seen a dehumanising narrative towards the Palestinians, and that we cannot accept that. We cannot accept that there are collateral losses. These are human lives, and we need to understand that the affirming international human rights law, standing against human rights abuses as a country, is one of the most important things that we can do.
Let's talk about the budget now. This was announced last week, and the Green Party's been pretty supportive of the budget as a whole. In your budget speech, you welcomed the government's raising of benefits particularly, but you also acknowledged that we need to go further. In what ways will the Green Party be supporting the push for livable incomes?
And so we have continued that push in various ways over successive terms. The day before budget, we had our MP, Ricardo Menendez March, in the House, asking questions to, I believe it was Minister Sipiluni, about the reports and the evidence that show clearly income levels, benefit levels are not enough, you know. And so we welcomed the raises in the budget because part of that is about the encouragement to the grassroots and people-led movements who have helped to shift that pressure, you know. And the Greens were proudly a massive part of that work, consistently calling government to account, whether that's media statements, supporting community campaigns. I mean, it was the Greens in the first place whose supply and confidence agreement brought the welfare expert group report into being, you know, because that was a part of our agreement to form a government. And it was from that welfare expert group that made it very, very clear that incomes and benefit rates needed to be increased. Now, we welcome that change. It's a really important change, and it will make a difference to people's lives every day. What we also need to keep doing is putting that pressure on and being very clear that is still nowhere near enough, especially in light of increased living costs.
So what's that going to look like, I guess, in terms of actions? Because there has been, you know, a little bit of frustration from some of these grassroots groups about perhaps it not being the bigger jump that they wanted to see in an immediate sense to benefits. What is that going to look like in a real actionable way from the Green Party at this stage?
Yeah, and we'll continue. We'll continue with our... So it's a priority for us. It has remained a priority, but particularly income levels are a priority for us in our inequality space. So we'll continue putting massive resource and capacity and voice and pressure, talking publicly, whether that's in the House, at rallies, in the media, but also behind the scenes, you know. We have an ability to influence in other ways in the hallways of power. So continuing, you know, part of the reason why people like Ricardo and Jan Logie have been able to keep the pressure on is because they pull up questions from the Parliamentary Library, do their own research and make sure that the reports and evidence that is put out there is amplified. So that's, you know, going to continue to be our strategy. We've got more campaigning, more solutions to come over this entire term. We'll keep that right at the forefront of our work.
Now, there was another thing announced, which has, I guess, caused a little bit of concern for some critics, and this is that the government's going to develop a social unemployment insurance scheme for workers, which is going to be worked on with a bunch of different groups, including unions. And it's not dissimilar, some people are saying, to the type of immediate support package we saw rolled out over COVID for people who'd lost their jobs, to have some sort of immediate backup for that. Now, the critics are concerned that this could be creating this two-tier benefit system. Does this worry you?
Yeah, look, we're going to make sure that we monitor that, where that discussion goes, and have an influence over making sure that it's not going to create a two-tier system. And that exists at the moment. So, you know, we announced the election. I was really, really proud that our first campaign announcement was to pull all of the health-related support into ACC, as an example, to remove the fact that there currently is two-tier support between whether you have an accident or an illness, and that causes you to be unable to keep working in paid employment. So that needs to stop immediately. There is an opportunity for this discussion around social unemployment insurance to head in a good direction that will ensure that everyone has enough to focus on their health and well-being, rather than have to stress about employment, supporting their family, and putting their health and family first. There is an opportunity for us to do that. We've already put out some solutions, for example, about pulling all health-related support into the ACC-type insurance scheme so that people are covered. So I'm going to keep my ears and eyes open. We're going to keep putting up our solutions to this conversation that we've worked really hard on, and hope to see good pressure from unions, you know, and other organisations to make sure that this conversation heads in a really progressive direction that looks after everyone.
Well, speaking of, I guess, a progressive direction, something that has come up a lot in the last term, and you know, it's an ongoing problem for New Zealand, is our housing crisis. This has been addressed in the budget as well. The Green Party is also calling for reasonable rent rules to be introduced. What does that look like, and how is that actually actionable here in New Zealand? Is it something that we can achieve in a short space of time, in your opinion?
Yeah, it certainly is. So, yes, what we know is rents are too high, unaffordable, are leading to more homelessness. They were leading to people choosing between being able to turn the heater on or actually buy enough kai for the day or for the week. People having to weigh up whether they can afford their health care, their education needs, due to really, really high rent costs. The Greens, you know, and what we want to see is people living affordable, secure, quality lives where they're able to put down roots in their community and neighbourhood, whether you rent or own, and this is the key. It shouldn't be a second-class way, a second-class option of living. And people who are unable to own their own home, that group is increasing. More and more people rent. I am one of the few MPs who still rent a home who does not own a home at all. And absolutely there are options available to us alongside, can I just say, alongside, of course, continuing to massively increase public and state housing and community and affordable housing, you know. So there are things that we can do now. We put out a range of options to get people's ideas, to get a conversation going, because this country hasn't even really properly, you know, considered rent controls. Things like a rent freeze is an option, especially until the housing market or the housing costs get under some sort of control where it's more affordable for people.
Are there countries? I was just going to say, are there countries overseas that we're looking at for examples of this, like for rent freezes and controls like this? Where has this been working already?
Including in different states in America, I believe, places like New York, and then in the upper sort of northern European countries as well, including some, and I wish I had my list in front of me right now, but I'm at home, including some countries in the UK as well, who have tried a range of different rent controls, like rent freezes, like limiting the amount of rental increase according to market area, there's a whole range of options where transparency, agreeing to rent increases before you sign up to a tenancy agreement, like things like making sure that a new tenant is not going to pay more than a previous tenant, to reduce that thing that we're seeing where landlords are able to evict tenants just to get a higher rent. You know, there's a whole range of options. Would have the benefit.
What would we need to see, I guess, because this is a conversation that, you know, advocacy groups have been pushing for a really long time. What's it going to take to get this to, I guess, change sooner rather than later? As you say, we've got to wait for the actual housing stock to happen. But in the meantime, you know, people are living in these situations. How do we actually make this policy?
I think it's got to be the way that you always see policy change, which is pressure from the people, and, you know, a mind to electing representatives of politicians who are actually representatives, you know, and at the moment they're not, because not only do we all pretty much own homes, but also property investors and speculators. I think increased pressure from people, from organisations, from advocates, is going to be key in seeing some change within the next 12 months, you know. We cannot wait for the housing, affordable housing stock to increase. We simply cannot. People are challenged and suffering now because of high rent costs. So us, the Greens, being able to lead out on that conversation, we've already seen, I think it's over 15,000 signatures to our open letter and our campaign. We know that this actually affects millions of New Zealanders, and so we want to help create that momentum and that mandate, that push for change.
Well, thank you so much for speaking with us this morning, Marama Davidson. It's been great to have you on the show. We'll talk to you again in a month's time, and we will speak soon.
Appreciate that. Ngā mihi, kia ora.
Ngā mihi, ka kite anō.
That was What's Up with Green Party co-leader Marama Davidson.